Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the latest episode of the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. On this episode, we are talking about Let's Make a Sequel. And joining me is my co-host in crime, Mr. Jason Roberts. How's it going, Jason?
It's going rather well. Aside from mostly adulting today, it's going pretty good.
Excellent. And I can't remember if I said my name was Chris Loggard. I think I did. I don't know. Yeah, today I was kind of not feeling so well for some reason. Now I'm feeling a whole lot better. But I don't know. It's like I got hit with a 6-hour bug or something. I'm not sure what's going on here, but no. We've been talking about Let's Make a Sequel for, you know, a while now. I originally came up with this idea when I did the Queen episode with Richard, because we were talking about doing a sequel to Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie. So that is one of the ones I'll discuss, but I have a new favorite for a sequel I would like to see front and center. But to kick it off, Jason, why don't you give us a sequel you would like to make and what your thoughts and ideas would be for that sequel?
Oddly enough, and I know it's actually, there's already a trilogy, and the trilogy itself is perfect as a whole. Mm-hmm. But what also kind of spawned the idea of actually having a sequel to it was they took a scene out of, it was pretty much a scene out of Fast and the Furious, mm-hmm. and they used Vin Diesel, but they pretty much transformed the car, and whoever fan made this did it perfectly with the CG and everything, but they used the DeLorean and everything else, and they just totaled Back to the Future, just like, you know, present day, and it worked. Like, it was really well done, and that got me, like, I mean, aside from making me go back and watch the originals, mm-hmm. but it just kind of got me thinking, and I thought it'd be really cool if they, and then I know they kind of teased every so often with commercials and stuff with, you know, Michael J. Fox and everything, and before his symptoms got really, really bad.
Yeah.
But it was like, I always thought it'd be kind of interesting for them to actually kind of not necessarily do a remake, but kind of do a modern day kind of a Back to the Future style, at least kind of incorporate somehow with the, you know, current actors and maybe like have a passing of the torch type deal.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. Like, and I would definitely want Michael J. Fox involved. Like,
oh yeah.
The thing of it is,
you gotta have, yeah.
Like, well, he's got the Parkinson's, but like, I mean, Marty could have Parkinson's too. Like, just because the actor Michael J. Fox, you know, has this, you know, unfortunate disease doesn't mean that we have to hide it from the films.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, Marty could also be suffering from Parkinson's. I mean, that would be something, you know, kind of, you know, you don't see a lot of in films is, you know, the main characters, you know, getting a disease that they have to live with, you know. And, I would hope that they wouldn't try and hide it.
Right.
But I know when he's done other acting work, they've tried to do that, like, try and make it seem like he's got something else, or, you know, they'll only show him in quick shots so you don't see him shaking and stuff. Which I guess is a choice that they make, but I'm of the opinion, like, why hide it? Like, just, that's who he is. That's unfortunately what he has to live with right now, you know? I would love it. Like, I mean, Christopher Lloyd's still going. You know, the guy who plays Biff is still out there. Actually, in a couple weeks at the time of this recording, I'm going to the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo, and they actually are getting the stars of Back to the Future there.
Really?
Yeah, they tried to do it last year, but they only got Christopher Lloyd, the guy who plays Biff, his name escapes me, and Leah Thompson, because unfortunately Michael J. Fox was really sick at the time and couldn't make it. But this year, I guess they've got those three that came last year, plus Michael J. Fox, plus the actor that played Principal Strickland, and then
he he passed away not that long ago, didn't he?
Nope. He's still alive.
That individual.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. But they're going to be at the Calgary Comic and Entertainment Expo. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so I definitely want to meet Christopher Lloyd because the Star Trek connection with him playing Captain Kirk.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty much just aside from Star Wars, I think he's been in just every kind of nerdism.
Oh yeah, I'm just gonna quickly look it up here if I can get this to come up. I know this makes for bad radio, but. Do you have any other thoughts for what you would want for Back to the Future? Like, what other things you would want to see in that film?
I definitely kind of like
any particular time period that you would want them to go visit, or like the past, the future.
It would be kind of a good balance of both. What I would like to see them kind of do is somehow slip into like an alternate timeline, but a kind of like almost like another dimension type deal where they kind of have that run into the Bizarro selves, mm-hmm. You know, just kind of like just to see, because it was basically in the trilogy, it was like they changed the course of the history for their futures. It was just like, so, you know, obviously they're following that timeline, mm-hmm. And it was just, but I think it'd be kind of cool if they accidentally somehow go into another dimension and then they have to kind of figure out how to get back, you know, meanwhile dealing with running into themselves, mm-hmm. You know, and what the consequences with that, you know. But I think just overall, it's kind of like, I'm kind of torn on the issue because that'd be really cool if they did do it and if they did it right. But at the same time, it's like, you already have the three movies. They ended it pretty well. And it's like, this is what, you know. Just leave it alone type deal, you know?
Yeah. It would definitely be kind of neat. Oh, his name is James Tolkien. And that was Principal Strickland. Tom Wilson played Biff. Leah Thompson, of course, played Marty's mom. And then, as we said, Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox. Yeah, they're all going to be in Calgary. I want to get my picture taken with Michael J. Fox, but I can only imagine how much it would cost, though. Because I know the Christopher Lloyd photo ops are $100, so I'm thinking Michael J. Fox would be at least that. And they're doing a stage show, I think, on the Friday night, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I seen that they were selling VIP backstage passes, so I was like, oh, okay, I'll check into that. It was almost $1,200.
What?
Yeah, to get a backstage pass. But, I mean, you get to, like, actually, like, sit in their, like, lounge and, like, actually get to sit and talk to them and have a beer and shoot the breeze, right?
Oh, okay.
Which is cool. It is, but, wow, like, yikes. Damn. $1,200? You know? Like, up in Canada, like, that's a set of winter tires, man. Like, that's a lot of money. That's an awesome idea for a sequel. And you would, like, you would want, like, a pass the baton sort of thing, like, to a new group, or?
Yeah, just kind of like, you know, just.
Or maybe a meeting of like, maybe. I'm just shooting this, you know, from the hip type of thing. But what if, like, someone else built a time machine and began changing history, and Doc and Marty realize, like, something's changed, something's happened, so they have to go back and find these guys and kind of put right what they're on, and then, the, you know, they got to break out the time train or whatever. Or Doc could be stranded and they gotta you know, get a new vehicle and build a time machine out of a new vehicle. That'd be kind of cool to see that as well.
Yeah.
In order for them to go back and put right what once were on, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, they could kind of pass the baton or maybe even expand you know, the scope of the universe a little bit. You know, like how certain franchises, you know, there's even Star Trek, like where there's like this temporal police, like, you know, like they've, you know, they kind of step in to stop them. You know, maybe we could see something like that. That there's definitely a lot of potential. Absolutely. But excellent choice. So the first movie I'm going to talk about, this is the big one for me, and that would be a sequel. But again, it would be a sequel, but it would also be like, yeah, first film for potentially a new franchise. And that would be doing a Batman Beyond film with Michael Keaton playing Bruce.
Yeah.
So this film would be...
Didn't they do like an April Fool's joke or something like that? Or yeah. There's like a meme or something that popped out with that.
Yeah, there's a cover of Entertainment Weekly where it says Batman Beyond Michael Keaton says both he and Tim Burton are in. I actually don't know if this is and it is dated April 1st, 2019. I don't know if it is an April Fool's joke or if that is something that he stated. Because if not,
that'd be really mean.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be awesome. Like, for my idea would be this would be a sequel to Michael Keaton's Batman and Batman Returns, but also a first new film for a new Batman, featuring the character Terry McGinnis, who takes over the mantle of Batman from Bruce Wayne in that future.
Yeah.
Because to be completely honest with you, Joel Schumacher took over with Batman Forever, and Michael Keaton got recast by Val Kilmer, and then they did Batman and Robin with George Clooney. And I mean, they did keep, like, the guy who played Commissioner Gordon was the same commissioner for all four movies. Same guy who played Alfred was Alfred for all four movies. But to be honest with you, as a fan, I've always considered, because, you know, the 1989 Batman film with Michael Keaton is, you know, one of my favorite superhero movies of all time. It would definitely, at the time, was my favorite superhero movie. So when they recast as Batman in Batman Forever, and then they, like, changed the tone of the and the look, you know, they made it more cartoony, more colorful, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I always considered those not sequels to the Michael Keaton films. Even though they were supposed to be, you know, they were kind of...
Just kind of like standalones?
Yeah, like they were kind of doing what they've done with James Bond for years, right? Like where...
Yeah.
You know, it was the same actor playing M, the same actor playing Q... You know, when Sean Connery did it, then Roger Moore took over, and it was the same act, same supporting cast, but different guy playing Bond. I kind of feel like that's what the route they were going with those films. And of course, they fucking destroyed the franchise and destroyed superhero movies for a few years with Batman and Robin. Like, that was absolutely terrible. So I've always considered the first two Batman films to be independent of those. So this would be the third movie in the Michael Keaton trilogy, but it would also serve as a launching point for Batman Beyond. And I'm not saying that I would want Michael Keaton to die in this film. I wouldn't want him to die as Bruce Wayne. But at the same time, if that's what he wanted, like because you never know, Michael Keaton might say, okay, I'll do one and that's it. You know, if he wanted his character to die, then I'd be okay with that. If that's what he wanted, or if, you know, he's not necessarily in every sequel following, if he doesn't want to be, like, that's fine too. But if he didn't want to do any more movies, I would hope that they would write that into this film so they could complete the trilogy. And then I have a few ideas of different actors that I would love to see playing different characters in this film. First and foremost, I would love to see Johnny Depp as the Riddler. I love Johnny Depp.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I think he's kooky enough and weird enough that he could pull off the Riddler. Like, I'm talking, I want the spandex wearing, you know, question mark Riddler. I want the, you know, bowler hat, you know, wearing the suit, you know, when he needs to Riddler. Like, I want that type of Riddler, and I think Johnny Depp could really pull that off. I would love to see John Hamm as Dick Grayson. For this film, you know, he would be Nightwing, of course, but I would love, you know, I'm a huge John Hamm fan, you know, for Mad Men. I just think he would make a great older Dick Grayson, right?
Yeah.
Now, for the new Batman, Terry McGinnis, I had to actually really think outside the box for this casting. And I was thinking of a young actor named Aidan Gallagher. Now, for those who may not recognize the name, he played number 5 from the Netflix series The Umbrella Academy. So he's the guy, or he's the character that's, you know, just the younger kid of the group. And he's the guy that could teleport and time travel and all that kind of stuff. He's a really good actor. You know, he's very versatile. You know, he's only, I want to say he's only 15 or 16 years old, which Terry McGinnis is a younger character in the Batman Beyond universe. So, you know, I think you would definitely have to go younger. So I think Aidan Gallagher would be a perfect choice. And as I said, you know, I should reiterate, I do not consider Batman Forever and Batman and Robin to be sequels to the Michael Keaton films. So that's why, you know, I would have Johnny Depp as the Riddler versus Jim Carrey. Because I don't think Keaton's Batman is, I think Keaton's Batman is a different Batman than what we saw in Batman Forever. That being said, I would love to see someone playing Mr. Freeze who should have played Mr. Freeze to begin with, and that is Patrick Stewart. I would love to see
Captain That would Picard, be awesome.
Yeah, Captain Picard, Professor X, as Mr. Freeze. And I remember, like, back before they ever, you know, thought of casting Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, my vote was always Patrick Stewart. I always, you know, it's got to be a bald guy. You know, he doesn't need to be ripped. He doesn't need to be huge. You know, he's just a bald man, you know. That's all you need for Mr. Freeze, and Patrick Stewart is that. Plus, he's, you know, a million times better actor than Arnold Schwarzenegger. No offense to Arnie, but, you know, he's not a great actor. And I would also, and to round out the villains, you know, like, these are just, I'm not sure which villain you would want to go with. I would love to see, you know, one of the villains take, you know, like, be the main villain. Like, in particular, I'd love to see Johnny Depp, you know, as the main villain. But I would love to see a couple other villains, like, not necessarily team up, but, like, maybe at the beginning of the movie, you know, them stopping one of the villains. And that's the reason why, you know, Bruce Wayne gets hurt or whatever, and a new Batman needs to come in. But I would love to see Billy Dee Williams return to the Keaton films as Two-Face, because he was Harvey Dent in the very first Batman movie.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, you know, it was a unique casting choice at the time, because of course Two-Face, you know, is typically a white guy in the comic books, and to have Billy Dee Williams, you know, Lando Calrissian playing, you know, Harvey Dent, like, I always thought, well, eventually he's going to be Two-Face, right? And of course, yeah, they never had him on a film after that, which was very unfortunate. Although he did play Two-Face in the Lego Batman movie, which I thought was a nice nod to you know, the Keaton films, and I thought that was a nice thing for them to do for Billy Dee Williams. But so that would round out the villains. So like I said, I would Riddler is the main villain, Two-Face and Mr. Freeze also involved, but the mystery will be the riddles left by the Riddler, whom was presumed dead years ago. That's kind of my my take on the villains.
Yeah.
But I think we need to resolve Bruce Wayne's love. I think we need to find out, you know, who can tame that heart of Bruce Wayne. So I would like to see either Michelle Pfeiffer return as Catwoman, if she's willing to. She might not be willing to now that she's in the Ant-Man films and stuff. Or I would love to see Kim Basinger as Vicki Vale. You know, I don't want to see both of them. I would approach each actress and ask, you know, which one would want to actually participate. Because I don't know if either of them would want to participate. But if they could get one of them, because, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer was a love interest in Batman Returns, Kim Basinger was the love interest in the original Batman, I would love to see one of them come back.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so basically the plot is pretty simple. Bruce Wayne recruits Terry McGinnis to take on the mantle of Batman. When Nightwing, played by John Hamm, is seemingly captured with only riddles as clues. So, yeah, that's my sequel, is Batman Beyond, featuring Michael Keaton. Jason, do you have another sequel idea?
There's one I've been wanting for a while, because they did a reboot. I know they've been talking about it too, and Arnold has actually made mention to it, is the Conan series. Yep. And as a kid, I've always wanted a third one. I mean, I watched those two, and there was Red Sonja.
Yeah.
So I kind of lumped that one in with the Conan movies. But it was just like, I always wanted the Jason Momoa one. Through its flaws, I was entertained.
Yeah.
But it just didn't have that true, you know, Conan feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Arnold has expressed that he's wanted to do another one. They were in talks of doing another one of him actually. I actually really enjoyed the idea, and it's just him, you know, holding on to what kingdom he has. That's a much older Conan, something that just kind of like either he just tries to defend it, or either he just gets tired of it in general and just wants to leave and go back to his old ways.
Yeah.
But that's something that I always wanted to see. And, you know, it's especially, it would kind of make up for, you know, that the last Conan movie. And plus, it'd be nice to see Arnold get out of that Terminator shtick. Although I am excited about the new sequel that's coming out for Terminator, but I think it's kind of a dead horse at this point.
And
I would almost kind of, it's like there's two things that I really want: another Conan. I definitely want him to do it. If it does happen, it'd be awesome. And the other one I almost wish he'll come back and do is actually have like another like Predator sequel, like with him in it, like coming back as Dutch, you know, and just kind of have that whole thing tie around. But definitely have another Conan movie and just continue on, because there's so much lore with the Conan between the comic books and the actual novels itself. And then, you know, it's like you have the video game and everything else that added on more to that. But I don't know if it'll ever happen though, but I kind of do really wish it would.
Yeah, I completely agree. That was actually on my list as well. I would definitely want them to call it King Conan. Just because, you know, whenever you see King Conan in the books, he's always older. He's he's the king of his kingdom, right? So it'd be cool to see Schwarzenegger play that version of him. The Jason Momoa film, I don't think I've ever actually watched it. Is it an origin movie, or is he just Conan?
He was just Conan. It kind of went in with a little bit of a backstory with him as a child.
Oh, okay.
If I remember correctly. And then he grows up, and obviously he's a little bit more weathered. He's had more adventures under his belt. And then it's just like that main story plot kind of comes in. The main catalyst, if I remember, kind of... He wasn't so much of a nomad this go around. It was kind of like he has a village and everything. And it's just like they took away the love interest in the film, and he goes over to kind of save her. And,
oh, okay.
And it turns out the whole village and everything else is being enslaved by this. And then, you know, Conan does what Conan does.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, I didn't think it was that horrible,
mm-hmm.
but so many people rallied that it was just kind of like they just destroyed it. You know, it was just okay. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've
can think of worse movies out there, but it's worth a watch. It's definitely, it's entertaining. Okay. It's a good popcorn movie. I'll say that. But
yeah, and I love Jason Momoa, so. It's weird, and it's weird. I never watched it, but I don't know. Like I said, with Schwarzenegger though, I've always, you know, had a soft spot for his Conan film. So, to me, I think maybe the reason why I didn't check it out was because it wasn't Schwarzenegger. You know, that's like doing a Terminator film without him, which I know they have done, and it wasn't as good. But the ones he's done since aren't good either. So. Yeah, the whole...
What's weird, though, too, is I thought Momoa, he fit. He had the look, mm-hmm. he had the hair, like, he was close. Like, it was, like, if anyone was to replace Arnold, he would have been perfect. And, unfortunately, I think there's just too many people having their fingers in the pie, you know, and so it's just kind of... It never got a chance.
Well, I wonder if they could, like, you know, not having seen the Momoa film, if they could do a sequel integrating his Conan with Schwarzenegger's Conan, like if they could have them, you know, playing Conan in two different time periods, maybe. I don't know. Like, that would be kind of cool. I would, but, you know, given the choice, I would definitely love to see Arnold come back as an older Conan. But speaking of Conan, one of my sequel ideas was Red Sonja 2. I would love to see a sequel to the original Red Sonja featuring the daughter of Red Sonja, who is the new Red Sonja.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see Brigitte Nielsen and Arnold Schwarzenegger come back as the original Red Sonja and Lord Kaladar, you know, played by Schwarzenegger. And maybe the new Red Sonja could be their daughter. And I would love to see Kate Upton. I know she's not an actress per se, even though I think she's done some comedies. But I mean, she's got the beauty and the body to play a Red Sonja. She'd have to dye her hair, of course, red because she's a blonde. But I would love to see Kate Upton because there was that, mobile app game where she was like the spokesperson for it a few years ago, and you actually saw her, like on TV commercials, you actually saw her like riding a horse and carrying a sword and all that kind of stuff. Like she played the part really well, like for a you know, medieval warrior princess type of character, right? So I really think, you know, Kate Upton could pull the look of a Red Sonja off for sure. And, you know, maybe with some acting lessons, she, you know, I don't know how much acting you really need for a Red Sonja film, but, you know, I really think she could pull it off.
Yeah.
Again, but having Brigitte Nielsen and Schwarzenegger there to kind of help along, you know, pass the baton or whatever, I think would be fantastic. All right. Well, the next, sequel I had on my list is what got this topic going in the first place. It's when Rich and I were doing the Queen episode, we were talking about a sequel to the film Bohemian Rhapsody, and apparently there are rumors floating around there that they are going to be doing a sequel to that film. Again, they're just they're just rumors at this point, but apparently, if rumors are to be believed, you know, they've approached Queen about doing it, and they want to do it. It's just a matter of the studio wanting to front the money. Because if they did a sequel to Bohemian Rhapsody, I really think this one would be a lot darker, given the fact that, you know, Freddie Mercury died in real life. And in the film Bohemian Rhapsody, you don't see, you know, that part. You see, you know, at the end of the film, they, you know, put a picture of Freddie on the screen, and it says in writing that Freddie Mercury passed away from AIDS in 1991.
Yeah.
And it was very sad. But, you know, if they're going to do another film where it takes place, you know, years or decade into what was left of Queen, you know, after their Live Aid performance, you know, like, that would play a huge part of that movie. And I don't know if that would... I just don't know how well that would do, you know, because it would be very sad. It would be very... And I mean, it is drama. It is, you know, like, it is a film. Like, I mean, drama is part of film.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how it would attract, you know, non-Queen fans or, you know, just regular movie fans to go watch a movie about a person who unfortunately dies from AIDS. Like, I really don't know if it would work as a sequel. But I mean, there is a lot that they can play with here. You know, some of the thoughts that I had, you know, playing devil's advocate here. So basically, the film would be from their following their Live Aid performance, which was, you know, the climax to the film, the first film. It would take place from then to the present. The Bohemian Rhapsody, the original film, was told from the point of view of Freddie Mercury. I think if you switched the point of view to, say, Brian May, like the guitarist's point of view, you would have a character that could take you from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie, because Brian May is still with us as of right now.
Yeah.
Right. Because one thing that they could show, like which could encompass a lot of the movie, would be the Queen's final tour in 1986, which was actually, you know, a very big tour. They toured a lot of different places in Europe, and it was huge. It was, you know, absolutely, you know, a big show, right?
Yeah.
But as, you know, the show would continue, you would have to show Freddie's declining health. But I mean, it could, you know, you could show how the band came together for their friend during this time. And like Bohemian Rhapsody, the of course, the main musical focus for the film was the song Bohemian Rhapsody. This film's main musical focus could be The Show Must Go On, which was a song that Brian May wrote for Freddie because, you know, of what Freddie was going through as, you know, as he was dying from AIDS. So, I mean, the name of the sequel could be The Show Must Go On. I think that would be a fitting title for the sequel. And then they get following Freddie's, you know, death, which I would think would probably, you know, two-thirds into the film would be when, you know, his character would pass away. You could do the 1992 tribute concert, which was, you know, very good. You could have them doing their final album as a band, as the original band in 1995, called Made in Heaven, where they were using recordings of Freddie Mercury that he had made prior to his passing. You could also show John Deacon, their bass player, retiring in 1997, them being inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2001, 2008. They had their first studio album, since made in 13 years at that point. Then they could go into 2015 when they started touring with Adam Lambert, and then 2018, the movie ends with the real Brian May and the real Roger Taylor on the set making the Bohemian Rhapsody film. So it comes full circle. That's the thing. I don't know if this would sell. I'm very interested to see if they will do it. I mean, I would go see it, of course, and I know a lot of people would. A lot of people that liked the film Bohemian Rhapsody would go watch it. But whether it would do as good as the first film, I honestly can't say. I think it would be tough. But anyway, that was my idea for a sequel to Bohemian Rhapsody. The show must go on, is what I would call it. And Jason, do you have any more sequels you want to throw out there before we wrap up?
Willow.
Nice. Okay.
I feel that this is actually me and some of my friends here, and especially my girlfriend, it's like we all love Willow. And it's like we always talk about a sequel and stuff. And we do know my friend actually found the trilogy book set that kind of happens after Willow.
Oh, okay.
And Lucas and I forgot the other writer's name. They both co-wrote it together. And it's weird because the book set, like, it starts off really dark. Like, pretty much everyone, they wipe the slate clean. Everyone dies except for Willow. But Willow goes into hiding. He chooses another name, and it becomes this grand sorceress. And it just kind of goes, like, it's nothing like the movies. Like, it just goes completely AWOL. And so it's like, if you're used to the movies and you read the book, and they're two different worlds. Mm-hmm. And then, everything kind of comes in together. Some people come back, and Willow manages to figure things out. But it's just like, I figured, with those aside, because they don't feel like how the movie felt. Like, it was just like, it didn't have that sense of adventure. It didn't have, I wasn't a big fan of the books. Mm-hmm. But the movie itself, like, I feel that it never got a chance to really explore what it could have been. It could have just been, I really wanted to have that Mad Mart again, or Sorsha come back and just have that adventure, and just have the brownies, and just like, I always wanted a sequel. Even as a little kid, I always wanted another sequel to Willow. And I at this point, I don't think it'll ever happen. But I would actually settle for, if they were to remake it, but do it right, and just kind of have, I don't want to say almost like a Lord of the Rings-esque, but just kind of keep that sense of adventure that the Willow had and just run with it and actually make, a really good just adventure. I don't think there's very many adventure films out anymore.
No, not really.
No, I mean, that's why I was really excited when Amazon announced that they were going to do the Lord of the Rings series, and I'm like, oh, that'll be really awesome. And I really miss having those adventure movies, like the Dragon Slayer or Willow, or, it's just kind of like, you just, those, even the Conan the Barbarian, like, they all have that adventure-esque, that swashbuckling, it's like, I just really miss those style of movies, and it's just like, I really think Willow never got a chance to actually, it became a cult classic, but I don't think it just got a chance to actually kind of grow and be more, at least have like a sequel or just like a trilogy for itself. Mm-hmm. But I think at this point, you're just going to have to reboot it, because so much time has passed now. It's just kind of like, it's probably due.
Or you could have the son of Willow, because you could still have, what's his name? Oh, what's that character's, or that actor's name?
Warwick? David Warwick?
Yes.
Warwick Davis here.
Yeah. You could have him, and he's still acting. You know, and you could still get Val Kilmer, I guess, but, you know, we could have
Warwick. He's going back for Top Gun. That's fine.
That is true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, Tom Cruise, I don't know what vampire blood he's drinking. I'm not sure what's going on there, but, yeah, that guy. Pretty amazing.
Him and Keanu Reeves have not aged at all.
that is true. Keanu, you kind of see it a little bit, like especially when they did that video with him and the guy who plays Bill. When they're talking and their stuff, like you can see, like the guy who plays Bill's definitely aged, and Ted, you know, he's definitely older. You can see what in Keanu. But with Cruise, like, man, that guy just, I don't know. It's amazing. But I have one more I'm going to throw out there. And the reason why I'm even bringing this up is because someone posted a video that I did share to the Pop Culture Pub group on Facebook. So if you're listening and you're not part of that group, just do a search on Facebook, the Pop Culture Pub. If you want to join, send a request to me, and I'll add you to the group. But the video that I saw was somebody dressed in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle outfit, like the original costumes that they like the Jim Henson style costumes that were created for the 1990 film.
Yeah, with the boombox.
Yes,
I just watched that.
Yeah, and I mean. And, you know, it's just someone dressed up as, I want to say, was it Leonardo that they were dressed up as? Or Donatello?
I'm going to find it.
It was either one of them. I can't remember. But anyway, it's them dressed up in the Jim Henson-built costume from the 1990 film. And it's just, someone just on the street, you know, doing like a dance to, I think it was the Vanilla Ice Ninja Rap. From the Secret of the Ooze sequel. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, like those Michael Bay Ninja Turtle films that they did a couple years ago, they suck. Man. You know, like the turtles looked so bad. And then you got the Jim Henson costumes that, to me, like that...
Hold up. They hold up.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's I don't know why that, like, why... certain well I know why but why people like Michael Bay and it's like they feel like they need to reinvent the wheel and it's not needed, like just go with the original, you know, the things that they use, like that film, like honestly the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film, the first one, to me still holds up as one of my favorite comic book movies of all time. You know, this, you know, unfortunately, they did a documentary a few years ago. I think it was called Behind the Shell. It was like a crowdfunded documentary that they did about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And it's really good. I recommend picking it up or watching it. It was on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's still there or not. But, you know, like they talked about like the film about how, you know, no, like the studio and all them weren't really paying attention to them, and it was like the final film that Jim Henson actually worked on before he passed. And you know, like it's was such a good film because there was not a lot of interference, you know, because the studios didn't really know what they had. So when that film, you know, did as well as it did, and they were making, you know, money hand over fist, then the studios got involved with the sequel. Then when you watch Secret of the Ooze, you can totally, it's like night and day, you know, the quality just went in the shitter, and it just got subsequently worse with the third film. You know, like they tried to make it like a kid franchise, you know, where the turtle, you know, like it, and it was just goofy. Like it wasn't
that toy etiquette type deal. Yeah.
Yeah. The toy etiquette, and they tweaked with the costumes. Cause even when you watch Secret of the Ooze, there is a difference. Like you can tell they're not the same. They're like, they were made by the like same company, like the Jim Henson company, I think, but they tweaked them to make them look a little bit different. So you could, you know, and it just didn't work. Like it again, you got too many, too many bakers in the kitchen, you know, and
yeah,
trying to, you know, tweak it, and then you end up with a dud, you know, and then that's what happened, unfortunately. So I would love for them to go back to basics, go back to the original Jim Henson, you know, costumes like that person was wearing in the video that I mentioned, who's, you know, in one of them just dancing on the street, you know, yeah. Have those costumes, you know, get some good voice actors. I mean, you could still get Corey Feldman as Donatello if you wanted. I think you'd be okay. I know the guy who plays or did the voice of Raphael does still act. I've seen him in the TV series Ray Donovan. So you could get him as the Raphael voice and so on and so forth. And just go back to basics. You know, do a Shredder story, do an origin, you know, have a you know, good April O'Neil, you know, fight in the Foot Clan, and you could, you know, have them be robots, I guess, if you wanted. Like, I thought the teenager aspect actually worked quite well for the film. It was actually a stroke of genius. It was a way for them to save money, but at the same time, you know, make it interesting.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things you could do, but I would love just to go a back to basics approach, you know, and have things make sense. Like the Michael Bay film. Oh my God. Like I remember trying to watch the first one and the whole thing, like them going into the mountains. It's like, where did these Rocky Mountains show up outside of New York City? Like, I mean, I've never actually been to New York myself, so I can't say, but I'm pretty sure there's no Rocky Mountains right outside city limits in New York. Pretty positive that's not a thing. And then they, remember this, I don't know if you ever watched it, but there's that scene where they were, it was almost like Goonies. You know, like in the scene in Goonies where they're going down those water slide tunnels, and then they end up to the pirate ship. Like, that's what happened in that film. It's like, all of a sudden, there's these sewer water slides from the mountains that take them to New York City somehow. I'm like, what? How? Like, I don't know. Like, those films are so bad on so many levels. I would just love them to do a back-to-basics approach. Like, you know, get the Jim Henson Company involved. You know, get the original creators involved, get, you know, Eastman and Laird involved, get their input, because I really think that's what made the original film work. You know, like, it was simple, you know, they were on a tight budget, you know, so they couldn't, you know, have these elaborate special effects, they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that, they had to really make it basic and make it realistic at the same time, and it worked. I would love to see a sequel. I mean, to be honest with you, I would love to see this as a mini series. Like, I think it, you know, if Netflix, you know, like Netflix is in the business of making superhero TV shows now, it seems, and they're, you know, got rid of all the Marvel stuff, so I know they're looking for properties. So, you know, I'd love to see maybe a Netflix Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series done with the Jim Henson style. Not the Michael Bay. Michael Bay film should be it should be like that, you know, like that Atari game E.T., you know, where they took all the copies and took it to a landfill and they dug up a big hole and threw all the copies in the hole and they buried it and then they didn't talk about it and blah, blah, blah. That's what should be done with those Michael Bay Ninja Turtles. Like, every shred of their existence should be removed. But anyway... Yeah. I digress. all right. Well, I think we'll call this an episode. This is definitely a franchise topic I think we will come back to on a future date. When I see something else I want to make a sequel to, we'll do an episode. Or you, Jason, if you see something, you let me know and we'll do another Let's Make a Sequel episode. But before we go, let's play that little game of... Where can we find you on the internet? Jason, where can we find you, sir?
Well, as always, I'm on Twitter at irobertsthree. And then you can follow my blog at nerdylifeofmine.com.
Excellent. I am also on Twitter and Facebook as ChrisLock1701. As I mentioned, this podcast is based on a group that we created on Facebook called the Pop Culture Pub. So if you want to check out the Pop Culture Pub, just type it into the Facebook search. You'll have to send a request, and I'm sure I will grant it. And, yeah, you can join in on all the pop culture stuff that gets posted there. I also do a blog. It's called Random Nerdness. I sometimes update it. It's been a few weeks since I've done any writing, but if you want to go, you can check that out. It's www.randomnerdness.blogspot.com. And going forward, at the time of this recording, Avengers Endgame is almost 2 weeks away. So at some point in the not-too-distant future, I know we are going to be doing an Avengers Endgame discussion, because I know I'm gonna have to discuss it. It's gonna happen. So that episode will be coming in the not too distant future. It'll be probably a week or two after Avengers Endgame, but after we've collected our thoughts, after the dust has settled, you know, after we get our superheroes back or don't, depending on what happens with you know, the old fight with Thanos. But we're also going to be doing some episodes in the not-too-distant future where we will be discussing some of the other films that have come out at the time of this recording. Shazam is in theaters. I haven't watched it yet. Jason hasn't watched it yet, but we will be watching it and probably doing an episode where we will be discussing Shazam and Captain Marvel as a character, the original Captain Marvel. And I got to say, at the time of this recording, Hellboy comes out tomorrow, and the initial reviews that I've been reading ain't looking so good, and I'm very disappointed to hear that.
I've been reading a few of them, and it seems to be kind of mixed. I know Henry Knowles said that he rather enjoyed it. It wasn't plot-driven, but it was just gory, fun, lots of cursing, just slapstick gore. It was just good popcorn, but, you know, he...
Yeah.
Usually, like, when Harry Knowles says he likes something, I kind of listen a little bit. You know? Okay.
Well, that's good. Like, I've heard that it is very gory. Very gory. And I know, like, I was a little bit skeptical, you know, because, you know, Guillermo del Toro was not involved. And then Ron Perlman walked away. And I really loved Ron Perlman as Hellboy. For the first two films. I mean, I am going to see this at some point. I'm definitely going to see it, but I don't know if I'm going to make a special trip to go watch this one.
Yeah.
I think I might just wait till it comes to the local theater, if it comes at all.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens there. But anyway, on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and my co-host, Jason Roberts, I would like to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub podcast. This was our first Let's Make a Sequel episode, and it will definitely not be our last, and we will see you again in the future.